In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Come, O divine will, to breathe in my breathing, to palpitate in my heart, to circulate in my blood. May every single act done in the divine will be for the praise and glory of God our Father, for the salvation of all souls from Adam to the last, and for the divine will to descend upon earth as it reigns in heaven. Amen. Mary, Queen of the Divine Will, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Welcome to the Will of God in the Life and the Writings of the Servant of God, Luisa Picarreta. We will continue with Volume 21. The next passage comes from Volume 21, March 13, 1927. And the title of this passage is How the Divine Will Does Not Leave Anyone, How It Possesses the Virtue of Regeneration and Holds Everything in Its Power. Luisa Picarreta writes, My poor existence continues under the harsh press of the privation of my sweet Jesus. Hours seem to be centuries without him, and I feel all the weight of my heart exile. Oh God, what pain to live without the one who forms my life, my heartbeat, my breath. Jesus, what a heart tearing is your privation for me. Everything is hampered, everything is hardship. How can the goodness of your tender heart resist in seeing me so hampered, only because of you? How can you leave me for so long? During this passage, we see that Luisa Picarreta is experiencing the absence of our Lord Jesus. It's been about only 3 days since Jesus revealed himself to her. And now Luisa Picarreta is experiencing the privation, is experiencing the solitude of not being able to feel our Lord Jesus, His presence. Many of us, probably we can relate to this sentiment, to this feeling that Luisa Picarreta is going through in this passage. When we experience the absence of our Lord and we are called to still believe that He is in there. This passage reminds me, Mother Teresa of Calcutta, that we read in her diary that for the last 10 years she experienced this spiritual dryness. She experienced the absence of our Lord, and yet she still believed and she went on carrying on her mission, knowing that the Lord was with her. And that's why we have the gift of faith, because through the gift of faith we are called to believe even though we don't see. This is what faith is all about, to believe even though we don't see. To believe that our Lord Jesus is with us. And living in the divine will requires faith, because even though it seems like we are doing nothing, by living in the divine will, when we live in the divine will, even the simple blinking of your eye becomes a prayer. Everything that is not a sin becomes a prayer. Everything that we do, physical and spiritual, becomes a prayer. And even though it seems like we are doing nothing, we are doing everything, our Lord will tell us. So it is important for us, my brothers and sisters, to remember that even though we don't feel His presence, at times that we go through spiritual dryness, remember that we are called to believe through the gift of faith. Luisa Picarreta continues, While I was putting out my pain, my dear Jesus, my sweet life, moving my interior and told me, My daughter, to you it seems that I have left you, and you did not feel my life within you, but my will has not left you. On the contrary, its life in you was in its fullness, because it does not leave anyone, not even the damned in hell. Rather, it fulfills its inexorable and irreconcilable justice. In fact, in hell there is no reconciliation. Rather, it forms their torment. And it is right that one who did not want to receive it in order to love it, made happy and glorify received to be tormented. Let's clarify this passage because it can be very confusing. What our Lord is telling us that what it should be the joy and happiness of those who are already in hell because they rejected the will of God, they rejected God out of their own free will, it forms their torment. Because everybody who is in hell is there because of their free will. By rejecting God, by choosing sin, by choosing what is not of God, by rejecting the love of God, they go there out of their own will. When we walk the path of the Ten Commandments, when we frequent the sacraments, our soul is a little by little inclined towards the good and is a little by little being configured more into Christ, more like Christ, Christ-like. But when we walk the path of sin, our soul is being disfigured. Our soul becomes disfigured. So those who are already condemned in the place of fires, the divine will becomes their torment. This is what our Lord is telling us in this passage. Therefore, my will does not leave anyone, neither in heaven or on earth or in hell. It holds everything within itself as though in its power. No one can escape it. No one can escape the will of God, my brothers and sisters. Neither men, nor fire, nor water, nor wind, nor the sun. Everywhere it holds its empire and extends its life, ruling and dominating over everything. So if it leaves nothing and invests everything, will it ever leave its firstborn daughter, in whom its love, its life, its kingdom are centered? In fact, even though my divine will extends everywhere and holds its empire over everything, yet if the creature loves it, it becomes all love and gives its love. If she wants this life, it forms her divine life. If she wants to let it reign, it forms its kingdom. So what is our Lord telling? What our Lord is telling to Luisa Picaretta is that if we allow the divine will to be the center in our souls, to reign in our hearts, in our souls, it would form the life of the soul, the happiness of the soul, the happiness of the creature. The divine will form its kingdom in our hearts, in our souls. And this is what is going to happen, that the knowledge of living in the divine will has to be spread so that this knowledge of living in the divine will, once it is spread, people come to know this spirituality. They will embrace it. They will make it theirs. They will desire it. They will love it. They will welcome this spiritual way in their hearts, in their souls. The divine will expand in there, will start reigning in the soul, and a little by little in everybody. This is how the divine will wants to reign on earth. It's not going to happen just at once. It has to happen a little by spreading the knowledge of living in the divine will. People will come to know and understand this way of living, will embrace it, will love it, will make it theirs. So wherever the will of God is done, there is the kingdom of heaven. There is the divine will. Wherever this gift is being received, the divine will reign. It will start reigning in the soul, and a little by little, more souls living in the divine will, giving praise, glory, and honor to God, forming the little kingdom of the divine will, the children of the divine will. Let's continue. The divine will carries its acts according to the position of the creatures. It possesses the regenerative virtues, so it regenerates the divine life, sanctity, peace, reconciliation, and happiness. It regenerates its beauty and its grace. It knows how to do everything. It gives itself to all. It extends everywhere. Its acts are innumerable, and they multiply to the infinite. This is important to understand, that the acts done in the divine will are always multiplied to the infinitive, to the eternal, to the perfect. So they carry the power to give glory and honor to God, to bring to God, on behalf of all generations, past, present, and future, what is due to Him. It gives a new act to each creature according to their disposition. Its variety cannot be much. According to our disposition, we can give to God according to our disposition, and God can give us. God can give to us as much as we are capable of receiving, according to our disposition. Who can ever escape my will? No one could go out of creation or be not created by us. Who can escape the will of God? Nobody, my brothers and sisters. We are all creatures of God Himself. Nobody can escape creation, He says. This can never be, because the right of creating is only of God. Therefore, my will never leave you, either in life or in death, or after death. While we are immersed in the divine will, the will of God is able to operate behind every single act, in our acts, is able to operate in our hearts, in our souls. Those who are in heaven, the blessed, they are centered, they are fixed in the will of God. They are fixed in the will of God, so they live in the divine will. They are immersed in the life of God. And we who know this gift of living in the divine will, we are called to immerse ourselves in the divine will so that every act can be done in the will of God. Those who are already condemned in the place of fire, our Lord tells us, the divine will becomes their punishment. This is what He's saying to us. The torment is what torments them. That they cannot be, they rejected. They cannot be in the presence of God because they rejected God out of their own free will. Therefore, my will never leave you, neither in life or in death or after death. More so, since by regenerating you as its special newborn, both of you wanted to form its kingdom. And whatever it is, I am in my full triumph. Can there be the will without the person who possesses this will? Certainly not. And do not be surprised if you often feel as if my life ended in you. You feel it ended, but it is not true. So at times we will experience this spiritual dryness, where the saints experience the dark night of the soul, the absence of our Lord. But in reality, He's telling us, I am there. So again, during these times, we are called to believe and to believe that He is there with us, that He never takes away our free will, that He respects our free will so much that He will never override our free will, but that He is waiting for the moment that each one of us will come to Him and out of our free will surrender our freedom to Him and to submit in love to His will. Because true love has to be free. True love has to be done in freedom. It happens as two created things which seem to die, but they always rise again. The sun seems to die, but it is because the earth is rotating, loses the sun. So it seems like it dies. But the sun lives and reigns always in its place. In fact, as the earth keeps rotating, it finds its sun again, as though rising again to new virtue of it. On earth, everything seems to die. The plants, the beautiful blossoming, the delicious fruits, but afterwards everything rises again and acquires new life. We can see this during the time of winter, my brothers and sisters. Everything seems like it dies, but as soon as the spring comes back, everything becomes anew. Everything is new life. Everything rises to new life. So living in the divine will, it seems like we are doing nothing. We have to die to ourselves with every single act. But we must have the confidence that our Lord is remaking, is reshaping, reordaining our souls in His will. Human nature itself seems to die during sleep, but from sleep it rises again, more vigorous and restored. Among all created things, only the heavens are always fixed and never die, symbol of the established goods of the eternal, the celestial fatherland, which are not subject to change. Divine things are never subject to change. What tells us the will of God doesn't change. God is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. He has no beginning and he has no end. He will never be exhausted. But God wants us to be immersed in himself. In baptism, he immerses his life. In baptism, the Holy Spirit descends in our hearts and our souls, and we become the temples of the Holy Spirit. In heaven, we will be immersed in God, living in God, fixed in God himself, the supreme good. All the other things, water, fire, wind, they all seem to die, but then they rise again, animated by my will, which is not subject to death, and which possesses the act of making all things rise again as many times as it wants, even more. While they seem to die, they have perennial life by virtue of the regenerative power of my will. Is the will of God behind all created things, my brothers and sisters? This is the way we can see it. I guess this is the easiest way we can see creation, that God, the will of God is behind everything, that God is present. And even though the trees, they seem like they die, they don't die. They come back to new life. As soon as the earth feels the effect, the heat of the sun, as soon as the earth rotates and gets closer to the sun, then new life comes into being. Everything becomes new. Everything rises from death to new life, because it is the regenerative power, the power of God living behind every single created thing. This is what he is telling us during this passage, that the will of God has the power to regenerate, to give new life, to sustain life in everyone. The same happens to you, our Lord says to Luisa Picaretta. It seems to you that my life dies, but it is not true, because since my will is in you there is the virtue of regeneration, which makes me rise again as many times as it wants. Wherever my fiat is, there cannot be death, nor goods that end, but perennial life. But perennial life, which is not subject to change. Perhaps we can illustrate this passage going back to Book of Genesis in creation. When God created Adam and Eve, they were created in a state of immaculacy. There was no sin. They were living completely in the will of God, immersed in the will of God. So with every single act that they did, this life that emanated from within their souls grew at every moment. With every single act, the will of God was operating perfectly in them. So they were covered with this light. The will of God was regenerated them at every single moment. At every single moment, they were becoming more beautiful. They were filled with more light because they were growing in the likeness of God. They were receiving light from light. They were receiving the light from the source of life and light, which is God himself. As we said in the Creed, light from light. And this life had the power to regenerate them, to give their freshness. So this is what our Lord Jesus is talking about in this passage, that the divine will has the power to regenerate, to give new life to all created things, all the elements, and to the soul, because we were designed to receive and to contain this light in our hearts and our souls. The soul was designed by God to be filled with this light that comes from Him, so that the three powers of the soul be inundated with this light, so that the will of the person, which is one of the powers of the soul, be totally immersed in the will of God, and then inclined always to do His will, always attached to the divine will. Then the intellect, which is the second power of the soul, by being always inundated, immersed, drawing strength at every single moment from this pool of light, come to the knowledge and understanding of His Creator, our God and Father. And the third, by using the third power of the soul, which is the memory, man will be able to remember all the wonders of our Lord, all the things that God created for him out of love for him. And then by remembering all the wonderful things that the Lord, our God and Father, has done for us, we will be able to love him even more, to return perfect love and correspondence. This is what Adam and Eve were doing before the fall. They were completely immersed. The powers of the soul were completely immersed in the will of God. In another part of the Book of Heaven, our Lord Jesus explains to Luisa Picaretta that Adam forgot the love that he had. Adam forgot the love that God had for him, and so he felt. We must never forget about the love that God has for each one of us, my brothers and sisters. We must never forget that we are loved by God and that we are called to correspond to Him in love, to give Him perfect praise, glory, honor, and adoration, and to always remember that He is the God who loves us, that He is the God who desires to have union with us. In this passage of the Book from Heaven, which comes from volume 19, August 8, 1926, our Lord says the following about Adam. By withdrawing from the supreme will, Adam lost the one unique strength of his Creator, and since he was left with his limited human strength, he felt the toil when working. Out of his free will, he went away from God, and he lost the divine strength, our Lord tells us. We are called to come back to our Lord in love. We are called to come back out of our free will. Our Lord tells also to Luisa Picaretta in volume 18, February 11, 1926, by withdrawing from the divine will, Adam distanced himself from his Creator. This distance debilitated him, impoverished him, and disordered him completely, thereby causing disorder in all generations. For once evil is in the root, the entire tree is forced to feel the malignant effects and bad humors from within the root. By withdrawing from the divine will, he experienced the distance. He experienced his human will. Our Lord invites us to come back to him. Our Lord invites us to come back to him in love and to unite ourselves to his will, so that by uniting ourselves to his will, he can do everything in us. He can operate in us. He can reorder our souls according to his will. Let's conclude. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for the gift of the divine will. We give you thanks for the servant of God, Luisa Picaretta. We ask you to help us grow in the knowledge and understanding of this great gift. We ask you to give us a sip of your will for our souls, that we may grow in holiness. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. May God bless you.